Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Joel Hargis, an instrument-rated private pilot who flies regularly around Florida and the Southeast for business in his Mooney. Joel is EAA Chapter 534 President and Young Eagle Coordinator promoting aviation.
Hello, I'm Joel Hargis with the Florida Aviation Network. We're here at Sun and Fun 2023, and if you haven't been out here yet this year, come. Because I'll tell you what, the weather is fantastic, probably the best weather we've had here for a week in years. And it's just beautiful. There's a lot of great airplanes, great air show. It's fantastic. And today, I am really excited to talk to these two guys. I have Steve Larimore and Marco Rasconi, and they're with Stallion 51. Welcome.
Welcome.
Thanks very much, Joel, and thank you for having us.
We are delighted to have you, and I, you know, I was so excited to get this interview because what you do, you guys are living the dream.
Yeah.
I mean, so what they do, these guys are T6 instructors mainly, but they're also P51 instructors. But the T6 is what they really focus on, and I have that right?
We split our time between both, Joel, so... We'll take students that do not have T6 experience and put them in a T6 if that's their objective. And otherwise, if the Mustang is their objective and they do not have T6 time, then we will actually put them through an intensive course to prepare them for the Mustang.
Yeah, you don't jump in a P-51, do you?
And the T6 is the lead-in airplane for any of the high-performance fighters.
Right.
And that's what it does.
And so, Steve, you were telling me you have how many hours in a T6?
I got 5,200 hours in a T6 doing this, so I'm
relatively high time. 5,200 hours.
But I've got friends that have a lot more.
So and so that's just stick and rudder work, right, guys?
I mean, it really is. It's old school.
Very old school. And so in the T6, obviously that's tail dragger stuff. And like I don't have a tail dragger endorsement. Although I've flown some tail draggers, I just don't have an endorsement. But so, how hard is a T6 to fly as a tail dragger goes?
Easy. Go ahead, Steve.
It's easy to fly. It's a great flying airplane.
Really?
Yeah. Old school. It's kind of a light wing loading. It's got big flaps.
Right.
It's just a good flying airplane. It's handling characteristics on takeoff and landing, mostly landing, they get your attention.
Oh, yeah. So would you say it's still pretty easy to ground loop?
Yes, you would say that.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what we do. We teach people how to stay safe in
how to not ground loop a T6,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And so so I'm sure there's you just got to be all over those rudders, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that?
And Joel, that's what our training focuses on. So we will... The average student will come in with some tail dragger time, you know, ideally 50 or 60 hours, purely because the T6, it's not exactly a great primary tail dragger.
Not the place to start, is that what you're saying?
That's right.
And so it's a complex airplane, so it's got a retractable landing gear, a constant speed propeller, and so engine needs to be managed as well. And so therefore... It's a handful for somebody who's never seen something like that before. And the training, you know, will take on average about 10 to 12 hours to take the average candidate through. But at the end of which, especially when they're flying with Steve, they're very much well prepared for the airplane. Yeah.
How many horsepower does that T6 have?
600.
600 horsepower.
That's right. They took basically a 450, 500 horsepower Pratt & Whitney early days and supercharged it. So at sea level, it makes 600 horsepower. The supercharging isn't really good for high altitude, but it gives you a 600 horsepower engine. The thing is, it's heavy.
Right.
It's up front, and it's a heavy tail dragger. So that leads into the heavier Mustangs and high-performance fighters really well.
Right.
Because a light tail dragger doesn't handle like that.
So the T6 has been the primary trainer for, I mean, it's it's not the same power plant, but it's been the primary trainer for Air Force, Navy.
Advanced trainer. It was the advanced trainer and became a primary trainer after the war, probably in the 50s.
Right, and it was such a successful trainer, Joel, that the South African Air Force was the last one to employ it in their armed force. They retired it in the 90s, in the early 90s.
94.
So, yeah. Well, so that tells you just how great of a trainer it actually was.
And so even, although it's been modified, but I know I've helped a couple young folks get into the Air Force and stuff, and they trained in a T-6. But it was tricycle gear, and it had turbine.
But they still call it a
T-6.
Texan 2.
Yes.
Texan 2.
So I was actually fortunate to fly that airplane in the Royal Canadian Air Force in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. We called it the Harvard 2 north of the border.
The Harvard 2.
You know, it's and it's a logical derivation of a great it wears the name very, very proudly as it continues to train our Air Force students very well.
So I would think they kept that Texan name because it was just such a success. Is that
correct?
What it was all about?
Yeah, and you know, the modern Texan 2 continues to be an incredibly successful trainer.
Yeah,
I said, it does a phenomenal job.
These guys, preparing guys that I help coach and get in to the service, you know, they were sending me pictures of them by their Texan, and they were all excited, and so that's cool. So I'm going to come back to you, Marco, on your military stuff, because I really want to hear that story. But you guys are really training GA pilots to fly some high performance fighter type aircraft.
A lot of ex Air Force, ex Navy guys as well.
Really?
You know, the high performance guys, they're pretty good, but they need tail dragger skills usually.
So, I wouldn't have thought that. So when you say ex-military, people that were flying maybe even modern-day fighters come to you?
Joel, the warbird world is very niche in its nature, and its entryway is the T-6. And so for someone who does not have previous T-6 time or heavy tail dragger time, the program is very well suited to a variety of backgrounds. And there's a lot of ex-military aviators that love the warbird world and want to enter it, and so that's why they come and see us.
Especially as they start retiring and stuff, they want to get back into it.
So that's your demographic, really. That's
no, a lot of civilians. A lot of civilians.
I would think obviously you got to have a few dollars. I mean, it's kind of on my bucket list, but.
There's nothing cheap about the warbird world, that's for sure. Especially as parts are becoming rarer and rarer to find, and insurance rates are going up.
Oh, I bet insurance.
But the Texan specifically is let's say entry level. It's affordable. You know, it performs like a 182, maybe a little faster.
A 182,
a lot stronger. It doesn't go that fast. 150 mile an hour cruise, right?
Okay.
Doesn't burn that much gas, less than 30 gallons an hour, usually, which isn't that bad, right? And the maintenance, it's so tough. It's such a durable airplane that the maintenance doesn't kill you.
Well, those round engines, I was always told, you pull in and say, check the gas, fill up the oil.
Yeah.
That's the joke.
That's changed a little bit. Modern rebuilders, you know, back then the tolerances were a lot bigger. You know, we're mechanics as well.
Okay.
The modern engine builders are using a lot closer tolerances. The oils are so much better than they were back then that, you know, they're going to leak a little bit, but they're a lot tighter than they used to be.
I know a couple Stearman owners that, you know.
Yeah, they're going to think about it. The oil tank is up high on the airplane.
Right.
And the bottom cylinders are down low. What's going to happen? Even while the airplane's sitting.
Oh, yeah.
Gravity's going to feed oil down into the engine. It's going to drain out somewhere. They're going to leak.
Yeah. Right? I've never seen one parked that doesn't have a tray underneath
exactly.
the motor. It's got an inch or half an inch of oil in it, right?
But they're a lot tighter than they used to be. They leak a lot less.
So,
but to your question, Joel, of the reliability of a radio, we totally agree with what you said.
Pratt & Whitney.
They're reliable, durable, and you know, they're a fantastic power plant and continue to be.
Well, and you know, Stallion 51, I'm sure you guys keep those in top-notch condition.
The maintenance on these airplanes is excellent. I mean, really good.
And we're very fortunate, Joel, to have an incredibly knowledgeable team at home that works, you know, long hours to keep those airplanes at very high standards.
Yeah.
Yes.
High standards.
How many Texans do you have in your fleet there at Stallion 51?
We're just using one, mostly.
Really?
We've had two. We've had backup, but for our mission, for our purposes, we really only need the one. Occasionally, we want to do some Texan formation training, and we'll have to find another Texan, or an owner will come to us with another Texan, and we'll do some two-ship stuff occasionally. It's not really the priority, but we do it.
And what percentage of the people that come to you that want to learn to fly the Texan are actually trying to transition to the P-51 Mustang?
On average, we get all types. We get some of our candidates that just like to come and just learn how to fly the Texan. Some join us just to experience the Texan on an orientation flight. And some come for the full program. So we will prep them for the Mustang with sufficient Texan training.
And a good number of them are buying a Texan.
Right.
They want to get it checked out.
If you were going to buy one, you got to learn how to fly one.
That's
and
right.
Probably no better place than Stallion 51.
Right.
I mean, how many places do
so.
That, for crying out loud? You don't have a ton of competition.
What we're lucky in the sense that having both platforms there and having us teach on both platforms, we understand the requirements of the fighter, and so we can start using the law of primacy in the teaching world, which tells that, you know, you learn best what you learn first, and so we can transition candidates with the right amount of knowledge on the T6 and then carry them through to the Mustang so that it's as efficient and they don't have to unlearn any skill or knowledge they've acquired.
So did I understand you? So your Texan program, about 12 hours?
10 to 12, usually.
10 to 12
Depends
hours.
On their skill set, their skill
and
level.
And then if they want to fly the Mustang...
Yeah. Let me state this in a different way. The reason we actually got the Texan in the first place was to prepare these guys to fly the Mustang, right? That was its primary mission. Well, it turns out there's a lot of people that just want to train in the Mustang as well. I mean, in the Texan.
Right.
Before they get to the Mustang, or maybe never get to the Mustang. So that expanded the market.
Of course, we're talking old warbirds. How many Texans are, you know, round engine Texans are flying these days?
A lot.
Joel, I'm sure the experts at home will have better stats than us here.
Yeah.
But the number fluctuates, but it's probably safe to say that there's at least 500 Texans flying worldwide, And there's only about 150 Mustangs flying worldwide.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question.
And only 20 of those Mustangs are two-seaters, so dual-seat, dual-control, TF-51. So those are the ones that we have at Stallion 51 that we use as training platforms.
Yeah, and I know, I mean, I am from Indiana, and there was a guy that had a Mustang up there, and he sold it. And the guy, I think, had some, you know, T6 experience, and he got in the Mustang and went home in Colorado and didn't even get it home.
Yeah, that's what we do. Our whole mission as Mustang instructors or as a Mustang company is to make those pilots safe in a Mustang. And we can transfer that right over to the Texan, too, and make them safe in the Texan.
Right.
Right. Because just for that reason right there.
Right.
And so back in World War II, you know, the training program was set up where an average candidate would get between 100 and 120 hours before transitioning to a single-seat fighter without really any training for that. But what we have to remember is that the risk tolerance was very, very different. The operational mindset was, and demands required, airplanes to be sent downrange. And so, therefore, Air Forces could tolerate the loss of Mustangs in ground looping accidents or takeoff and landing accidents more. Nowadays, with the costs that we're incurring, and you know, we think of these as priceless works of art. You know?
Right.
And so, us in the warbird world, we work tirelessly to try and preserve these airplanes as much as we can, and continue to try and make every operator of these airplanes as safe as they can be, so that they can their toolboxes can be fully filled with you know, sharp tools to not to get themselves into trouble. But like these airplanes keep teaching us daily. The biggest thing is that we always learn, and we're continuously humbled, and we respect these airplanes incredibly.
Well, I know personally, and I've never talked to a pilot that if you don't learn something on every single flight,
right.
you're gonna have an accident. You just learn something every single flight.
Right.
And if you're not learning, you're going backwards because
that's
just flying. That's just flying, right?
Yeah.
And so let's get down to a little nitty gritty. So if I want to come out and just take a ride in a Texan, have one of you fellas, you know,
we do orientation flights.
So right. And so you guys, so the passenger set up front or back?
In the Texan, we generally put them in the front seat.
Okay.
You start out in the back seat of a P-51.
Okay.
Everybody does.
Right.
But in the Texan, especially if they have some experience, we can put them in the front
seat. Stick them right in the front seat.
They have the landing gear. We've got a radio in the back seat of our Texan, so we can do a lot from the back seat. But the front seat is the pilot in command guy.
Right.
So.
But with an instructor in the back, you're kosher.
We've got so much time in the back seat of Texans that, you know, we can keep them out of trouble.
Right.
We've seen pretty much everything.
And Joel, the experience consists, you know, our guests will arrive and we will give them a full 1 hour briefing so that, you know, they're well prepared.
Flying the airplane.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And then, you know, they'll fly the airplane for almost a full hour, you know, at least certainly 90% of the time.
So we don't use the word ride at all.
Right.
It's really dual instruction.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then
for anybody, non-pilot.
An hour of dual.
Yeah, and then we have a state-of-the-art recording equipment installed in the airplanes that
video.
You know, gets a video.
GoPro.
And so everybody
great
comes
great debriefing
home.
Thing.
Yeah.
And we send that
yeah.
to them. We send it to them so they have it to show everybody.
Yeah, I would think an hour of grand school to just having never done that is not a lot of time. And
that's
and
right.
so
that's right.
What does that cost?
Nowadays, an orientation flight is $1,250.
Okay.
And our dual rate for instruction is slightly higher than that. Yeah. So
I can take an orientation flight for $1,250.
Correct.
That's the number?
In the T6.
And I get a fly.
In the T6.
Most of the flight.
Yeah. Well, I'm not wanting to land that plane. Not.
Yeah, you
one.
Are. Yeah, you
really?
Are. Yeah, we're gonna try to get you to land the airplane.
What am I not doing?
Take it off if you haven't had recent tail dragger experience. In the Texan, we can often let the guy actually do the takeoff, as opposed to the Mustang, where you got to see at least one of those before you do it yourself. It's a whole different ball game in the Mustang.
Well, that's pretty exciting.
It's very exciting, and it's you know. We get you there real quickly. 95% of that flight, they're flying the airplane.
Cool.
In both airplanes. So.
So an orientation flight in the Mustang?
Yes. So we use the same formula. So our guests will arrive. We'll brief them for 1 hour. There's some critical functions that we cannot access from the back seat, and so that's why.
That's a backseat ride.
They got to transition.
Non-training candidates fly the airplane from the backseat. That's 1 hour. And then same thing, the missions are recorded. And nowadays that's for $38.50 an hour.
$38.50 for
right.
that.
Yeah.
But
And it's not a big profit thing either.
No, it probably isn't by the time you fuel and insurance and the whole nine
it's
yards.
It's going crazy.
But, you know, Joel, we're so fortunate to, you know, we grew up as kids building models of these airplanes, you know.
Right.
And for us to be able to do it is a coronation of a lifelong dream. But the best part about doing it is sharing it.
And, exactly.
And for us to be able to allow people to come and see us. And under the, you know, we work so hard to maintain incredibly high safety standards to be able to, you know, come and experience these airplanes. You know, it's what we love to do, and it's truly, truly fantastic.
Well, I tell you, I mean, for many pilots, if you got any warbird, yeah, you know, love in your heart, yeah, the P-51 is the coup de grace, the ultimate, and but to fly in any warbird, like I say, I've flown in BT-13, which is just, Texan light, if you will, and that was cool. And we're just about out of time here, so give us your website.
Yes, it's if you're interested in coming to fly the Texan or the Mustang, come and see us. We're in Kissimmee, Florida, and you can visit us on our website at www.stallion51.com.
That's pretty straightforward, stallion51.com.
It's a good website.
Well, gentlemen, as we wrap up here, all I can say is I am so envious.
You got to come visit.
I should. I got to say.
You're our neighbor. You're local.
Yeah. I can fly right in there.
Come on over.
I got to save my nickels, get my wife to raise my allowance.
Yeah.
But anyway, no, I'm really envious. I'm serious. What a great job. Oh, I've got a minute left, so tell me so.
Imagine how fortunate we feel, Joel.
Oh, yeah. Yes. No kidding. You know, and I didn't get to this, and I kind of wanted to, but you're an old, Snowbirds,
yes.
The Snowbirds.
I was very fortunate. In my previous life, I flew for Canada's National Aerobatic Team. And, you know, and at Stallion, you know, like everyone is, you know, I'm part of an incredible team.
We got a hell of a group.
And to be able to share our passion together is pretty special.
Well, I'm going to have to get down there and visit you guys.
Oh, you
and if
come
nothing
by.
Else, take a look around and.
Yeah, just show
and,
up.
And see what we can do. Yep. Again, thanks for coming in. I am Joel Hargis with the Florida Aviation Network, and we are here at Sun and Fun 2023. It's a beautiful day. It's been a beautiful week. We got today and tomorrow. Come out and see us.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.